Amen. In other words, what this song is basically saying, when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, the waves took him. But when he had his eyes upon Jesus, he was walking on the water. And no matter what we go through in life, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, and not, it's when we take our eyes off of him, that's when we fall. That's when we sink. Amen? I'm excited today. Hallelujah. I've been in a fast of weeks, for 7 weeks I've been fasting, and today is the 50th day. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but if you read in your Bible, there's something special that happens on the 50th day. Pentecost comes. Hallelujah. So when we did this fast of weeks, we were doing it according to the Feast of Weeks, and this is the 50th day. And I believe there's a fresh anointing that's coming to your way. Amen? Amen? It's a time of healing. It's a time of restoration. And I believe that God is going to do supernatural, wonderful things in this house today. I know when it's sometimes when it's difficult to break through, that God's just about to do something. I know that every time that God is ready to do a miracle, hell lets loose. Because there's a transition and there's a change that takes place. You know, when we talked about this to be in the year of change, and a lot of change is coming, and during this fast of weeks, praise God, we got Tim and Amanda and their newborn babe. Hallelujah. Baby's name again.
Riley James.
Amen. It's called spiritual multiplication. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So I believe that God is doing. Are you ready for something to happen in your life today? Let me ask you, are you ready for your life to totally change and never be the same again? Amen. In other words, if you know, you've got to want it, because God ain't going to do anything that you don't want. Are you tired and sick and tired of the same old thing? Are you sick and tired of hearing and feeling the same way that you did before? Are you sorry? Are you sick and tired of being miserable around some people that have hurt you? People that said things about you? People abuse you, and you get in the room with them, you can't hardly smile, because the devil's got a root there. God wants to break some things today. Man, I'm telling you something. God's getting ready to do something. Inside your bulletin, I want everyone to pull out this sheet of paper. God gave me instructions today. So how many know how important it is to follow instructions? How many people do we have in here that are as good at following instructions? How many people with me today say, well, Pastor, I'll work on that today? May I see your hands? Pastor, I'll work on following instructions today. Amen? Amen? You know, when you meet with the Holy Spirit and God's getting ready to do something, he gives you instructions. And all I'm doing is following instructions. When I was talking to him, it didn't make sense. It didn't have to make sense to me. I'm just following instructions. I'm just going to do what God told me to do. And what he told me to do, I'm going to do it. Well, and he'll receive the glory and honor, because if God tells you to do something, it's going to accomplish something. So I want everybody, does everyone have one? If you don't, we will get you one. Does everybody have a sheet of paper? Does everybody have something to write with? You need something to write with. Raise your hand up. We'll get you something to write with. Hallelujah. We want everybody, you need something to write with, because this is so vital and so vital and important. Over here. Praise God. We're getting there. It's going to be good. You both need one. Do you have one?
We both gotta have one?
Yeah. She'll give you one. She'll hook you up. Everyone needs one. You can't depend on your wives or your husbands. This is a personal thing. Roy needs a pen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Now, here's the instructions the Lord gave me, and I'm going to give you instructions. So if everybody's listening, everybody ready? All right. If anybody has ever offended you, abused you, said something mean to you, that's hurt you, that's hurt your feelings. A lot of times these are people in church too. This is just in the world. They've done things that really hurt you. Here's what I want you to do. Through the message today, the Lord's going to speak to you, and the Spirit's going to speak to you and going to bring that thing up. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down the offense. I don't want you to write anybody's name. This doesn't have anything to do with names. It has to do with offenses. It has to do with offenses that has come against you that the adversary is using to keep you from clearly hearing and seeing the Lord. You know, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:14, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, and without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness, which without no man shall see the Lord. In other words, what the Lord is going to do is he's going to reveal some things. So if you've got some hurts or some offenses that was brought against you, and all of us have them, amen? I think one of the things the Lord really wants to speak to everyone's heart about is this. It's time for us, the church, the body of Christ, just to be real. Just to be real. If we have hurts and we have pains, and you say, how's everything? Oh, that's great, Pastor. I'm too blessed to be stressed. But yet I go home and I have this thing that keeps bugging me. And it gives the adversary a stronghold. It gives him a place to bug you and to steal your joy. And what the Lord wants to do is he wants to bring you healing today. This is what Pentecost is all about. Amen? That's what Pentecost is all about. Everybody awake? Everybody with me? Amen? 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 Praise God. So open your Bibles with me in Acts chapter 2. I have to write something down. In other words, whenever through the message, during the message, if you sense something comes, you need to take your pen, you need to write it down on the sheet of paper. Amen? Amen? Don't put your paper away, because even if you put down one thing to begin with, somewhere during the message, the Holy Spirit's going to show you something else. Amen? Are you with me? Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. Acts 2, 1. The Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Amen? Amen. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The title of this morning's message, with the help of the Lord, is Pinned
to the cross. Pinned to the cross. There's four things I want to share with you today. One faculty, one flash, one fire, and one filling. One faculty, one flash, one fire, and one filling. Let's make a declaration in the house together. Can we make a declaration together? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, for I'm listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful for you, Lord Jesus, and we're grateful for your word, and we're grateful for everything that you sent it to accomplish in the house today, Father God. Lord, this is the 50th day. This is the day of rejoicing. This is the day that the church was formed. We've been on this fast of weeks now. Father God, we're expecting you to move in our lives in a special way. Your word says to us, and Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, Father God. So today we come before you, Lord Jesus, with a hunger and a thirst, Father God. Lord, we're here to bind every work of the adversary in the name of Jesus. You have come to set the captives free. You open prison doors. You open blind eyes, Father God. Lord, we pray that every heart and life that's gathered in the house today will be ministered to, and may there not be one that isn't touched by you in a supernatural way today. And we'll never cease to give you all glory and honor, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. You know, when I was looking and meditating and spending time with the Lord and what to speak to you about today, and we've been on this fast of weeks, and there was a Feast of Weeks, and it was the day of Pentecost. And I want you to understand there's a lot more that took place on that day than just the Spirit coming into individuals. Even though it was a great day, there was a lot that took place at the day of Pentecost. Amen. And you know, it says in verse 1, and it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when it was fully come. In other words, this was the time. This was the time that, you know, we talked about in the Old Testament from the Exodus of Egypt until the giving of the law and the Mount Sinai with Moses, that God brought the law. That was the Jubilee. That was the celebration of Pentecost. And we had the church. The church was born on this day. This is the church's celebration day. This is the church's liberty day. This is the time when God gave the Spirit of God to dwell in each and every one of us. So this is a memorial day for us. It's not actually today. Don't misunderstand me. Today is not the day of Pentecost. It's the day of 50th day that we're celebrating from the fast that we took. I'm not trying to say that this is the day of Pentecost on February the 23rd, 2014. Amen. But the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. In other words, there's something about gathering together in the house of God. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, as we see the day approaching. There was 120 that were gathered together in one accord. That word one accord comes from the Greek word homoumadon. Madon. It's a good word. Homo, H-O-M-O, homo, T-H-Y, M-A-D-O-N, H-O-M-O, wait a minute, H-O-M-O-T-H-Y, M-A-D-O-N. Homoou, the Y is a ou, mod on. And that word means one mindset. One mindset. They had one faculty of mind. That's the one faculty. One faculty of mind. In other words, this was a day that they forgot about all of their differences. They forgot about all of their differences. They were coming together with one mind, and they were waiting upon the promise of the Father. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he told them, he said, "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." And here's what the Lord was saying. Listen to me. Why the enemy wants so much to divide us is what takes place when the church comes into unity, when the body of Christ can come with one mindset. So the adversary is constantly trying to get us to look at what's wrong with our brother, to look at what's wrong with our sister, to see the negative sides. You know that there today in the United States of America, there's 44 different 100 denominations of Jesus Christ. You're talking about one of the biggest divided days there is in the house of God. There's 4,400 different denominations. Amen. And you wonder why there isn't a full move of God. You wonder why there's so much darkness and sickness in this world. Because we look at what we don't agree on instead of agreeing what we do. We can agree on Jesus Christ. We can agree on him dying on the cross or raising from the grave. We can agree on him sending the Holy Spirit. We can agree on those things. So why do we get so focused on the things that we disagree on? That's the adversary's ploy. As long as he keeps the church looking at what's different amongst one another, we'll never come into the unity as it did in the day of Pentecost. In other words, they were one mind. Matter of fact, the prophet Amos says in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? In other words, how can we walk in unity? How can we do the things that God has called us to do unless we can come into unity and come in agreement? You know, one of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 133. Psalms 133, where the Word of God says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment or the oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and that went down to the skirts of his garments." In other words, that oil was poured. When someone was anointed, the oil was poured. It was poured over them, and it ran down over the head and went down their shoulders into all the limbs. And as the anointing of God flows, how does it flow? When the brothers and sisters, how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that ran. As the oil that ran down, and it says the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, or the Zion today being the church, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. You know, when we look at this, this is, if we come into the house of God, we come into God's house, and because somebody has a different personality than us, sometimes we don't like their personality. Let me tell you what happened the day of Pentecost. They forgot about the differences they had amongst one another, and they were in one accord expecting God to do something. And I'll tell you what, you won't be surprised when we come together in unity what God does. Amen. You know one of the things he keeps you from coming in unity with him? Somebody says something or reacts some way, and it reminds you of something someone else did to you. I think they said the same thing to me. Or they acted the same way. You know what that says? There's still a root of bitterness there. There's still a root of unforgiveness. There's still healing that needs to take place in the inside. All of a sudden, somebody says something, man, that reminds me of that guy that did this. Or that reminds me of the person that did that. Amen. Hey, come on now. Amen. Everybody's different. You know, some people don't have any intentions to hurt you. In other words, I said it before, and I want you to get a hold of something. If we get a hold of this one thing, it can change our lives.
Have you ever got a bill in the mail and they made a mistake? The other week, I got a bill for plowing the driveway. They made a mistake. They charged me for three times. It was only once. Now, when the mailman gave me the letter, I didn't take it up with the mailman. I called and took it up with the sender. And if you and I, the Bible says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle isn't with whoever delivered the letter. Our battle isn't with whoever said that. Our battle is with the sender. It's not with the deliverer. The mailman was the deliverer, but the person that sent it was the adversary. So no matter who came against you in your life, you have to recognize where your battle is. Your battle is with the sender, not the deliverer. Amen? And if you get this in your heart and mind, when somebody delivers something that doesn't belong to you, you're not going to beat up the delivery. Deliverer, you're going to take it to the throne of God. You're going to say, Satan, take your hands off of me. Amen. I'm going to cast down every imagination that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, and I'm going to bring under captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. In other words, I'm not going to let that get a hold of me. In other words, if we recognize who the battle is truly with, amen, then we're going to get the sender and not the carrier. Amen. You hear me? Paul said this in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, the Holy Spirit's going to say some people that delivered you some bad mail. How many has had somebody deliver you some bad mail? And I'm not talking to the postal services. They did something to hurt you or said something to hurt you. They delivered you some bad mail. Is that you? Write down that bad mail. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Amen? Amen. So every time, listen to me, every time that I feel something that's coming to divide me, I have to recognize who the sender is. If a wolf is going to attack the sheep, he's going to separate the sheep from the flock. Hello? And in other words, that's what happens so many times because people get separated by offenses. The offenses separate them. So we find that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were of one accord in one place. They were gathered together. They had one faculty of mind. And suddenly, the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. In other words, this wasn't a wind. It was a sound. It was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. What does that sound like? In other words, there was a sound, but there wasn't no effects of wind. This wouldn't have been anything supernatural if the wind was blowing in the house. We see the wind blowing all the time. There wasn't nothing about it. Wasn't the wind. It was the sound of the wind. They heard a sound that sounded like wind, and all of a sudden they look around and nobody has the effects of wind. These windows are open. They don't have double pane windows. These windows are open, and the wind, if it was the wind comes in and shakes it. But there wasn't the wind. It was a sound of wind. And you and I should already be aware of that because of what Jesus prophesied in John 3:8. Jesus said this, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it goes or where it comes from. So is everyone that is born
of the Spirit. In other words, he told them how it would happen. He says, you're going to hear the sound. It's going to come, and that's what's going to take place. Everything that took place the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, was prophesied. Amen? Was already spoken, and now it's being manifested. Jesus in his ministry and walked on the earth and told his disciples and those that were following him what was going to take place. Amen? There was a sound. There was a sound. There was a sound. It's a sound. It was one flash. Well, you say, well, Pastor, why'd you put one flash? Well, one of the definitions of flash is sudden perception. Sudden perception. In other words, there was a sound that everyone heard and perceived. There was a perception. There was a sound that filled the room. The room is filled with a sound. You know, the prophet Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 43, and he had this vision. And Ezekiel 43, verse number 2, he said, and behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. His voice was like a noise of many waters.
Amen.
There was a sound. He heard a sound. He's trying to relate what that sounds like. Even in the day of Pentecost, Luke is trying to relate what it sounded like. There was a sound that came in the room that got everybody's attention. Now, I want to go somewhere a moment. I want to go on a sidebar. Amen. I'm going to step out of the message just for a second, but I'm going to jump back in a minute. You with me? Amen. Are you with me? Because the Lord wants to say something. When we gather together, listen to me. When we gather together to praise and worship the Lord, it's the most important time as a child of God. When we make one, it's the only time where we can truly make one sound together, you praising God. It's like when we're singing together, we're singing the same song, we're making one sound unto the Lord. Why do you think the adversary doesn't want you to sing? Why do you think, well, I don't like that song? Oh, I don't like the way they do that song. I'm not joining with that one. Oh, I like this one. Oh, I don't care for that. It isn't about you. It isn't about me. We're making one sound to give glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And it's not about us. All we're doing is we're trying to come together in harmony to make one sound to be heard of God. And when that one sound comes up, he can't help but fill it with his presence. Amen. And that's why the adversary wants us not to get in unity, not even singing. He wants to just keep us separate. Well, I don't really like that song. I'll just wait till that one's over. Well, that one's over. I'll just sit here. I ain't going to do it no more. Come on. Can we get real? You know, the Word of God says, you know, when I look at this, I was looking at what took place when Solomon dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 13, and it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever and ever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. See, that's what happens when people come in unity together with one voice and one accord and making a sound to Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's what takes place. So we find when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. We find they had one faculty of mind. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty, as a mighty rushing wind, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There was one flash. Then the next verse says this. It says, and it appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, I want you to see something. There appeared. It means they saw something with their visible eyes. There was something that they visualized and they saw with their eyes. There appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire. Now, they didn't see all these tongues sticking out with people with forked tongues flapping their tongue in the air. All right? A tongue wasn't even the tongue. He wasn't even speaking about it. A cloven tongue is a split. Even a piece of land that comes and divides is considered to be cloven. In other words, you have to get a picture of something. The day of Pentecost, there was fire that came from heaven. There was a sound, and there appeared fire in the room. And if you light a candle or you light something, a flame, you'll watch and it flickers, and it flickers up, and it divides. It doesn't stay in one home. It divides. Now you have to see this fire coming in from heaven that filled the house where they were sitting, okay? And in other words, this fire was like that flame going up. Now it's turned upside down, and it's setting upon each and every one of them. In other words, there's a fire in the house, and it's touching their head, that head, that head, that head, that head, and it's cloven all around the room where everyone is sitting. It's cloven around the room. Listen to me. It's cloven around the room. Why was there tongues of fire? Why was there cloven tongues of fire? Because they are getting ready to have to show love and compassion to the very ones that crucified their Lord and Savior. All of a sudden, they were going to come out, and they were going to be a witness for God. And he had to transform their minds. It sat upon their heads. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. See, this fire that came in was a purifying fire. It's a purifying fire. It's a fire of the Holy Ghost, man. It's a fire that gets inside of you. Amen. It's a fire that can't be quenched. There's a fire that got on these people's lives changed that day. They were never the same. They looked one way, and after this fire came upon them, they were never the same again. All of a sudden, they started operating in a different way. And that shouldn't surprise us. The greatest prophet of all the prophets prophesied that this would happen. Who is the greatest prophet of all the prophets? John the Baptist. Every other prophet before John prophesied about Jesus coming, John the Baptist prophesied that he was already here. That he said in Malachi, when the book was in it, he said he would come in the fire of Elijah. And John the Baptist was walking in that fire. He was preparing the way of the Lord. He was walking that. Matter of fact, if you look at Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11, the word of God says, and this is John the Baptist, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that's coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. In other words, he's prophesying. This is what's taking place. They're being baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. The Lord was saying something to me. Listen to me. This fire, this purifying fire that sat upon each of them, they had to have forgiveness and love for the ones that just crucified their Lord and their Savior. And they're going to witness to these very ones. And the Lord was saying to me, when you forgive offenses or when you release the offense, it's important to release the offense because he might call you to witness to the very one that offended you. And if he's called you to witness to the very one that offended you, you have to walk in love. Because a love will cover a multitude of offenses. His love covered a multitude of our offenses. Your love will cover a multitude of offenses. I want to do another sidebar here for a moment. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to just for a moment. And I'm trying to speak about unity of the body of Christ, not just in this building, but coming together and working together for the kingdom of God. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. By one Spirit we're all baptized in one body. We're the body of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, we all have been made to drink into one Spirit. You know, the Bible says that they all drank of one Spirit. We all drink of the same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen? I think we got to be sort of like Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called and he made a decision in Jeremiah 20 that he wasn't going to go. He wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to speak the word of the Lord anymore. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And all of a sudden it came on him. He said, it was like fire shut up in my bones. Amen. The fire of God was shut up in his bones. He could not forbear. He could not stay. He had to go. Amen. He had to go. So we find when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. We find they had one faculty of mind. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There was one flash or one sudden perception, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And so the cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. There was one fire. And then it says in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Recognize with me that the tongues that he's speaking about in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, comes from the Greek word glossus, and it means languages. It was an unlearned language. And everyone that was gathered understood in their own language. God isn't the artist of confusion. All of a sudden, you have 120 Galileans. They're gathered in an upper room. They've got all these people gathered from many nations. And you know, it's one of the things we see. We see 3,000 people added to the church in one day there. That was really a small number of people compared to all there that were gathered there for the day of Pentecost. I mean, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people gathered. We thank God that there was 3,000 Jews saved on that day. We thank God, but it was just a small portion of that was gathered there, you know. And there's many crusades that are going on in this world where there's hundreds of thousands of people saved in a day. Greater works shall we do because he's gone unto the Father. Now it's not only one, but it's all of us operating with the power of God and the Spirit of God flowing through us. But he said to me, when he said that, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Verse number 7 of Acts chapter 2 says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own language wherein we are born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in other tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocked and said, these men are full of new wine. In other words, they recognized that they were under the influence of something. There was and one of the things the Lord said, what's influencing you and I? What are we walking under the influence of? Are we walking under the influence of pain, of suffering, of persecution, of abuse? Are we walking into that? Are we walking in the newness of life?
He said, you know, I was under the influence. I know that there's been times in the Lord that I've been so inebriated and drunk, I couldn't move. You ever been drunk in the Holy Ghost? Come on. Hello? You ever been drunk in the Holy Ghost? Praise God. Hey, man, you've ever had the Holy Ghost come upon you, and all of a sudden you just started laughing, and you couldn't understand why you were laughing, and you couldn't laugh, and the spirit of laughter came on you, and you were rolling on your side, and you couldn't stop. Hallelujah. Praise God. All of a sudden, ha, 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 ha. Sometimes in the middle of a storm, the Holy Spirit comes in and you just start laughing. Ha, ha. That's what was taking place. There was something that was happening in the room that was so supernatural. They thought they were drunk. Why did Paul say in Ephesians 5:18? He said, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. Because after you're filled with the Spirit, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. We sing a song, your love is so intoxicating. Spread wide in the arms of Christ. You don't know that song. Hallelujah. I could hear when it did respond. I don't believe there's anything wrong with getting in the presence of God and getting high. Get high on Jesus. It's legal. You don't have to do any time for it. You can get drunk on the Holy Ghost and you won't have a hangover. But I don't recommend driving under the influence of the Spirit. That's the people here. That's the people at times that have been so filled with the Spirit. We just had to sit and wait for them to sober up. We had to sit around and wait for an hour for them to come down because they were high on Jesus. You see, we get so caught up on the things that the world has to offer. We've got the giver of every good thing we serve. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God wants to give you and I good things. Amen. We serve a good God. Amen. Praise God. They're filled with the Spirit. You know, Jesus told them. He said in Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Here they are. In an upper room in Jerusalem. Here they are with all the Jewish nations that came together to celebrate Pentecost. And all of a sudden, they're going to open up their mouths and they're going to start sharing the love of God. Amen. I could just see joy and a smile on their face as they're sharing the goodness of God. I could see the joy in their face when they were sharing it, saying, man, I was heading to hell, but Jesus came and saved me. I was bound, but he came in and broke the chains and set me free. Amen. He's come to set the captives free. Paul would say in Ephesians 6:19 that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. All of a sudden, these men are inebriated. They're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. They begin to talk in languages which everyone understood. There wasn't no confusion. Everyone understood their own language. Some say it was even like almost like a reversal of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11:9. But I believe that God gave them a language in each mouth. And as they started sharing, everyone understood and heard in their own language.
Amen. And in other words, what the Holy Spirit is saying, sometimes when God calls you to share his love with others, you're not going to know what to say. And he's saying, trust him. He says, I'll put the words into you to say. Just trust me. Amen. When that came with them, they had no intentions when they were gathering together to witness and go out and share Jesus. They just thought they were going to get some power. They were waiting on some power from the Lord. He said, behold, I tarry you in the city of Jerusalem to you, endued with power. Amen. And I want you to understand something with me, that this wasn't a one-time event. This isn't a one-time event. They had to continually be filled. They had to continually be filled. Acts chapter 4. Verse 29, they're facing opposition. And he says in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Holy Ghost filling. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. In closing today, what is God saying to you and I? He said, hey, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. They had one faculty of mind. Can we as a body of believers just stand together in unity? You know, the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as a mighty rushing wind that filled the house where they were sitting. It's a sound that everyone perceived and everyone understood. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, that one fire that filled the room, that purified. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Lord gave me instructions. The Word of God says in Psalms 34:19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:5, for he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace. Every offense that's ever come your way is a chastisement of your peace. Was upon him. And with his stripes, you are healed. So in closing today, the Lord just gave me instructions. I want to follow the instructions that the Lord gave. He told me to take these offenses that you've written out and take them and lay them at the cross of Calvary. And this is going to represent the cross. And we're going to leave them there today. God doesn't want us to carry this any longer. God has come to heal. Turn it up a little bit, Chris.
don't deserve your glory, but still you show a love we cannot afford. Like in just raining from
for you alone be glorified.
take it. Compared to Calvary.
Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet.
You can't, you won't release it. You got to release it to him.
Such a
tiny offering. This offenses. Come on.
Compared to Calvary, nevertheless, we lay this at your feet. All that is within me cries for you alone. Be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. My debt is paid. These chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us.
That you would be mindful of us. And already forgiven on the cross of Calvary before they ever happened. And what God wants you to understand today is you need to enter into his finished work. You are not strong enough to do it yourself. That's why he did it for you and I. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God. We're so grateful that every weapon that the enemy has tried to form against your people, Father God, will not prosper. No weapon formed against your children will prosper, and every tongue that riseth up will condemn the word. Every word that belittles, every word that abuses or hurts, every action and every deed that's been done to this body, Father God, I pray, Father God, for healing and restoration. May our lives never, ever be the same. Lord, you said we overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Today, we're going to confess with our mouth what the Lord has done. Confess with your mouth. Confess with your mouth. Give God thanks. Give him thanks for taking that pain. Give him thanks for taking that hurt. Give him thanks for taking that burden. Give him thanks for taking that sorrow. Give him thanks. Give him praise and glory. Can we give God glory in the house today? Hallelujah! 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're touched with the feelings of our infirmities and with your stripes. today, we have been made whole. And our lives will never, ever be the same. Never, ever, never, ever be the same. Those things that held us back aren't going to hold us back any longer. We're going to have Holy Ghost boldness to teach. We're going to have Holy Ghost boldness to reach. We're going to have Holy Ghost boldness to preach. We're going to have Holy Ghost boldness to give. We're going to have Holy Ghost boldness to serve. We're going to have Holy Ghost boldness to do whatever you call us to do. We're going to do it with all we got. So, Lord, we praise you and we give you glory for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.